And you see the harmony now between Jacob the father and the desire of Joseph that he would go and seek the welfare of his own brothers. And we see that Joseph took delight in this task of visiting them and seeking them out. Now, do you not see right in here the very language of the gospel? Do you not see the language of the Father sending the Son to seek for his brethren? Thank you for tuning in to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. And today we're looking at parallels between the life of the Lord Jesus and Joseph. Joseph, way back in the Old Testament, the special son of Jacob who became the prime minister of Egypt. Obviously, there are mighty things that happened in his life, but it was all a picture of God's Son who would come into this world, humble himself, and then be exalted to be the ruler, to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So much to learn in the life of Joseph. Now, we have a hymn today, The Love of God, and I trust that we will experience the love of God in our hearts through the ministry of God's Word. Also, we have a story on cleaning up corruption. We have cities and societies today that are so corrupt, so wicked, where things are out of shape so terribly that we lose hope. And how can it be changed? Well, today we have a great lesson of a young pastor who had an answer to the corruption of his city. So stay tuned with us today as we let the Bible speak on Genesis, Jesus, the parallels between Christ and Joseph. We're going to need a number of fingers just to start out our service tonight, because I want you to keep your finger in Genesis 37, where we read in the story of Joseph. But I also want you to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and the verses 6 to 8. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 8. Now you need to know that the gospel of the Lord Jesus begins at the cross, and the very history of God's redemption, it leads to the cross, and it also flows away from the cross. And that is because for our Lord Jesus, there were seven steps down from glory to the cross. And then there were seven steps back to glory all the way up from the cross. And I want to count those with you, just pointing them out here in Philippians 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, and that is, of course, the eternal person and the glory of our Lord Jesus, he was equal with God, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And then his humiliation. He made himself of no reputation. That's step one. And took upon him the form of a servant. That's step two. He came in the likeness of men. That's step three. Found in the fashion as a man. Step four. He humbled himself. Step five. And became obedient unto death. Step six. Even the depth of the cross. Step seven. And as our Lord Jesus entered into his humiliation, all the way to the stigma of the cross at Calvary, God the Father rewarded him by exalting him again back to glory. And let's count the steps up. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. That's 1. Given him a name which is above every name. That's 2. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. That's 3. The name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That's 4. Of things in heaven, that's 5. Of things in earth, 6. and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is the humiliation and the exaltation of our Lord Jesus. Can it be any surprise then that if we believe that Joseph was a type or picture of the Lord Jesus, that we see the same pattern in his life? There are the steps downward in deep humiliation, and then there are the steps upward in exaltation. And this evening, I want us to look at the seven steps downward in the humiliation of Joseph. Though he was the beloved son of his father, he's the one who went down, 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 down to Egypt, into the prison, to the very lowest of the low, that he might be the instrument of God to the blessing of multitudes in days to come. So the first step downward I want us to look at is here in Genesis 37 and verse 12. It says, "And his brethren went to feed their flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them." And here is the first step in Joseph's humiliation. He is sent by the father to seek the welfare of his kindred, his brothers. I want you to see that he was sent by a plan. It was the father's plan to send Joseph. And although Joseph was the beloved, the special son whom he had set his love upon, he said to his son, right in the words of verse 13 at the end, "I will send thee unto them." And immediately, you will find that Joseph says, "Here I am." And while he was sent, he was not voluntold, he volunteered. He was ready to go. And you see the harmony now between Jacob the father and the desire of Joseph that he would go and seek the welfare of his own brothers. And we see that Joseph took delight in this task of visiting them and seeking them out. Now, do you not see right in here the very language of the gospel? Do you not see the language of the Father sending the Son to seek for his brethren? And the Lord Jesus was made in our likeness. He was made in the form of man, that he would seek the souls and the welfare of mankind. And we're here tonight, Christians, believers in the gospel of the Lord Jesus, because from eternity, God had a plan. The plan was to send his son into this world to be our savior, to seek our welfare. And the son, in harmony with the father, said, "Here am I. I will go." And this is the good news story of the gospel. Now in verse 14, you will see here how he was deeply interested in the welfare of his brothers. It says, "And he said unto him, Go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with the brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." I want you to see that the father had the best intentions and interest in those sons, Joseph's brothers. He did not seek to damn them. He did not seek to condemn them. He did not seek to find them out, but he sought their welfare. And the Bible tells me in John 3:17, that God sent his son not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. So don't get the idea tonight that God is out to get you. Don't think that God is that big ogre in the heavens that is intending to destroy you, or that this thing called Christianity or the gospel is just a way to catch you out and bring you into shame and degradation. No, this is for your welfare. This is for the good of your soul. This is about delivering you from destruction and leading you into the very blessedness of heaven. And I want you tonight to know that God loves your soul, that the Lord Jesus came into the world to save your soul. And if you submit your heart and yield to him, put yourself in the hands of a loving, gracious God, he will do you good. Another verse is Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. These brothers, by the way, were lost. And you'll find here that Joseph searched far and wide for his brothers. And this is the second step in Joseph's downward spiral from his father's presence, his father's house, sent forth, and when he goes out seeking in the field of Shechem, he discovers that his brothers are not there. They were supposed to be in this place called Shechem. And when you study the land of Palestine or Israel, you have to do a little bit of reverse thinking, because the best pasture and the best water supplies are not down on the plains. They're not sometimes even in the deep valleys, but they're on the mountaintop. And Shechem was on a ridge. That's what its very name means, on the ridge. And Joseph was to go to a special point where the brothers were to be caring for the flocks, grazing the sheep, looking after them. And when he arrived there, the brothers had wandered off. And here in verse 17, you will find that there was a man who intercepted Joseph, and he noticed that Joseph was searching and searching, and he said to him, I overheard your brother saying that they would go to Dothan. Now, that's not where his father sent him. And that would have given just enough reason for Joseph to turn around and go home again and say, they're not there. If there was no welfare in Joseph's heart for his brothers, there was no interest in their good, and if he did not care for them, he could have done an about turn and went home. But we find, indeed in verse 17, that Joseph, and I want you to notice these words very carefully, and Joseph went after his brethren and found them. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus did for us. We were lost. We had wandered in the paths of sin in this world. We were not where we should be. We ought to have been condemned and forgotten. But just like Joseph did not give up, he went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Those are telling words. And that's the story of the gospel. Why am I a Christian tonight? Because the Lord sought me out, not because I sought after him. We can say with the Apostle John that we love him because he loved us first. He first loved us. That's how John put it. And this is amazing grace. It is the grace that once I was blind, but now I can see. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. And it is the grace of the heart, the mercy and love of God and our Savior that sought us out, even in the places we should not have been. The Lord sought us and found us. And it's like the prodigal, the father waiting for that prodigal to return home and rejoiced. And I want you to know tonight that if you repent and turn from your ways of sin, and if you will recognize God's grace, God's mercy to you, that He will save you. He seeks the welfare of your soul. We could multiply examples in the Bible of men who lived ungodly, unheeding, wicked, rebellious to God, and the Lord stopped them on their mad career of sin. I think of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, madly against Christians, seeking their arrest, when the Lord shone from glory and thrust him to the ground and stopped him. And for Paul, it was true that the Lord sought him, found him, and saved him. And that's the story of every born-again Christian. That's the story of everyone that has repented and turned from their sin. The Lord was seeking me when I came at last to seek unto Him. Another example is the woman of Samaria. In John 4, we read of that woman who came at noontime to fill her water pot at the well. And the Lord Jesus, we're told, on that journey, He must go through Samaria. Why must? Because there was a woman there whom He must meet, talk with, and give her the water of everlasting life. There was a must. Maybe tonight you're here in this church because there's a must. God in His grace would have you to hear the good news that He desires the welfare of your soul. God is not intending to damn you, but to save you. And He has not stopped short, but gone the second mile to seek you out and to find you. I trust tonight that you will be found of the Lord, and that you will give your heart to Him, and that you will be saved. Now, the next step downward, we're proceeding here now in these seven steps downward for Joseph. The next rejection is his brother's attitude. When they saw him coming, in their hearts they had already rejected him. Look at verse 18, and you will see that Joseph was rejected purely out of prejudice. Even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And so these elder brothers, they were the brothers of Bilhah and Zilpah, and they had it in for Joseph, because Joseph was the boy with the coat of many colors, given by Jacob because he was the son of his old age, and he had no shame in stating, "This is my special boy." And the brothers hated him for it. And so at this time, there was this built-in rejection. And that's exactly how it was when our Lord Jesus came into the world. It says in John 1:11 that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. Now his own there would have been his own nation, the Jewish people. And they today still have the blood of the Lord Jesus on their hands, guilty of rejecting the Lord Jesus. And man's rejection of the Son of God is really the marvel in the history of redemption. It proves the point that salvation's not of man. Salvation is God's plan. It is God's power. Because the first thing that God has to do to save your soul is to overturn your rejection of Him. There is something in your heart that says no to Christ. There's something in your heart that says, "I will not have Him to rule over me." And that's what these brothers were saying. Look at verse 19. They said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." You see how this root of bitterness was in their hearts? There was a day earlier before this that Joseph told his brothers about his dreams. And he said, "I dreamed that we're 12 sheaves and your sheaves all bowed down to mine." And the brothers got the message, and they hated it, and they're harboring it in their hearts. And at this point, they're saying, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." This one who, we hate the whole idea that we're going to bow to him somehow. In verse 20, you will see again how this harboring resentment was really seated in relation to his dreams. And they said at the end of verse 20, we will say to our father, some evil beast had devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Oh, there's the point. There's the thing that stuck in their minds of resentment against. They despised Joseph because he made this claim they were all going to bow down to him. And they could not tolerate that at all. Why was our Lord Jesus hated of men? Why was he rejected of his own? It is because of his revelations of the Father. And when the Lord Jesus spoke of his Father and spoke that he was sent by his Father to be the Redeemer and Savior of men, for that he was hated. Let me give you one quote, John 3:31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And for those such statements, our Lord Jesus was despised and rejected of men. And no doubt he had clashes with Pharisees and clashes with many because he claimed to be the Son of God. And for that they would stone him and eventually crucified him. Because it would require that men would have to accept his words or reject them. There's only two things that you can do with Christ, the Son of God, tonight. You can reject him. You can just clam up, close your mind, step out of the arena and say, that's not for me. You can do that. Or you can bow at his feet to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Every time that men and women are brought under the claims of the gospel, they've got that decision to make. Are you going to reject him, or are you going to bow at his feet that he is truly the Savior sent from above, who seeks the welfare of your soul, who wants to deliver you from hell and bring you into the heart of the Father and into the home of the Father that you might be saved? Listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Great privilege to bring you the message of God's Word today. And here is a story on cleaning up corruption. A young pastor went to a church in a city of 25,000. Soon some of his church leaders told him they thought he should attack the city administration, for the mayor, department chiefs, and members of the council were so corrupt, the city had become notorious. Asking for time, he prayed about it, decided on his course of action, and secured a 10-minute appointment with the mayor. When he kept the appointment, after some general remarks, he said to the mayor, "I want to congratulate you on the honour and responsibility that you were led on you when you were chosen mayor of this city. But I want to tell you that there is a greater honour waiting for you, something far bigger than the office of mayor of a city like this." Thinking this stranger might represent some high-up politician, the mayor listened with evident interest. "You ought to be a servant of Jesus Christ," said the young minister. In astonishment, the mayor said, "No one ever spoke to me like this before." The time being up, the minister left, but the next day the agitated voice of the mayor said to him over the telephone, "Won't you come and talk with me? I have thought of what you said ever since you left. I must see you." 2 weeks later, not only did the mayor come into that pastor's church, but the chief of police, the fire department chief, and 5 aldermen who yielded themselves to Christ. That city was cleaned up. Now, this story is told from the growing menace of the social gospel. Now, while we may have concerns about the legitimacy of that story in its details, yet we know that the social gospel is powerless to change cities and change corruption. The social gospel so often only perpetuates the problem. But it is the power of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, that changes hearts. And that's how cities are changed. When hearts are changed, that's the answer to the crime, the alcohol, and the drug addictions of society today. And all that we might see are leaders converted, and that we might see men and women brought to faith in our Lord Jesus. The gospel for everyone. May it be so, and may many be drawn to the Savior through the gospel message. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, minister of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. So I trust God's word has been a blessing to you, and that you have understood this typology. That's what we've been looking at many of these weeks here on the typology of the Bible. It's like a hidden prophecy wrapped up in the life, in the person of these characters in the Old Testament scriptures, so that we can say that we have Christ in all the scriptures. It is a rich and a wonderful way to interpret and understand God's holy word. If I can be of any personal help, make sure you give me a call. I'd like to send you a booklet called A New Beginning, which you can also read online, and I'll give you the website in a minute. This book, The New Beginning, is really a Bible guide. It has headings, Bible verses underneath, and it allows you to search out the proof text for each of the headings and statements. It will show you what is man's need, salvation. It will show you what is the way of salvation through faith in the person, the death and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will show you key texts on when you call on the Lord to trust him and pray a sinner's prayer. It will also show you various steps as a new Christian: baptism, church fellowship, prayer, Bible study, and so on. That is also available online. The website is www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And of course, our phone number is 604-576-1091. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow as we let the Bible speak.